The relationship between Paul and Timothy was a special one. And Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. And I don't know how it has been in your life, if you ever had somebody in your life that, though they weren't related, they were like family. And especially to the point that they were this close, you know, like a father, like a son. But that's looked at Timothy, and I'm sure Timothy looked up to Paul in that same regard. Timothy was pastoring a church. And he would, you know, it's not as easy as picking up the phone and calling and saying, hey, I'm going through this, and can you help me? You know, I know that we deal with that with our friends, and they call us and we try to counsel them through what they're going through. And the letters would have to go all the way to Paul, and then Paul would write back. And here he's addressing Timothy not only as a son in the faith, but as a pastor. What does Timothy need to relate to the people, to give them so that they can walk with Christ? And he says in verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, what's the most important part of our salvation, of our Christian walk? What is the most important relationship? First of all, he said prayer. First of all, look, that's important for a pastor. That's important for any Christian to talk to God, to always look to Him, to pour your heart out. And He names different ways in which we go to God. When we go to God, when you talk to God, what do you talk about? Okay, gratitude, appreciation. Here He says thanksgiving, right? Giving of thanks. What else? What do you pray about? What's that? Forgiveness, okay, our forgiveness. Struggles that we're going through. What else did you say? And I thought that's what you said, everything. All right? For healings of bodies, ours or somebody else's. He says supplication. And you look at the root word there and you understand that is supply. You know, this is where we pray for what we need. What do we need? Well, thank God we're most of us in a situation where we don't need anything. There might be some things we want, but you know, that dollar store cereal eats just the same as that Publix cereal. So, you know, there might be some things we want, but need. We don't have many needs. So the supply, we pray for supply. God, give us those things we stand in need of. Whether that's the food or whether that's the rain, right? Sometimes we pray for rain. And sometimes we pray that it'll stop raining. And we, you know, different prayers like that according to our needs, according to our business, to our family, the needs that we have, the supply. And also prayers of worship. Just loving on God. Just tell Him how good He is. Tell Him how much we love Him. Tell Him how important His Word is and how important His church is. You understand, this is His church. You know, when we don't get along, we're fighting among God's children is what we do. And so the thanking God for our family, our church family, and thanking Him for His goodness and His wonder and His mercy and praising Him. When you look at a sunset, right, or a sunrise, or the stars in the sky, you know, all of these things that we... Or lightning. I don't know. Y'all ever watch a lightning storm? Some really close, right? So watch a lightning storm or just the power. You know, we don't want a hurricane to come here, but we look at it and we see the power of God's creation. Tornadoes, all that kind of stuff that's devastating when it makes contact. But what an awesome testament to the power and the wonder of God's creation. And it's beyond our control, right? We can't control any of those things. But we worship Him and just love Him and thank Him because He's so good to us and prayer of admiration. And then intercession. This will be when we go to God on behalf of others. I hope that you do pray for everybody in this room. I hope you pray for everybody on our church roll. And not only that, but when they request, you know, you add that to it for that day or for however long it is, and you add that onto there. You know, I pray for people that I've never met. I pray for people that I'll never see. But I pray interceding on behalf because you love them, because you know them, because it's important to you. And if it's important to you, it's important to me. And that's how we pray, in intercession. And so prayer, he says, first of all, talk to God. And when you talk to him, Sister Smith, talk to him about everything. Talk to him about everything. Give him thanks. And he says, to be made for all men. We should pray for everyone. There's no one we shouldn't pray for. You think about what God told Jeremiah. He said, don't pray for these people. I'm not going to help them. But here, Paul tells Timothy, prayer should be made for everybody. Now, it'd be different prayers, right? We pray that they would find God, that they would find the grace of God, that God would touch their hearts and soften their hearts, that God would bring somebody in their lives or bring so that they can see the genuineness of faith, the realness of God, the power of God, the love of God, the truth of God. You know, it's incredible. These people say that they are of some religion, but they don't believe the Bible. And I know their religion, though it has faults, at least bases its ideas on the Bible. But the problem is that they don't base it in the pulpit on the Bible. Incredible to me that people can have such ideas that are so foreign to the Word of God, but the reason is because the precepts of the Word of God are not taught. They're not preached. And here, he says we should pray for everybody. In fact, look at what he says in verse 2. He said, pray for kings and all that are in authority. Now, when we pray, I pray for them. I pray for those who are making decisions that affect us all. Because you see, it's not just those who are in, making decisions at the top of the country, but locally. You know, we found, especially over the last 2 years, how much power a school board has and a local county commission has. All politics are local politics. And it matters who's the supervisor of elections or the dog catcher or the tax collector. It matters. We've got to be involved in those decisions and choose good people, godly people. And he said we need to pray for them. He said for us, that the person that's making decisions that affect us all has some connection with God. And so we got to pray for them. Pray they'll have clarity. Pray they'll have wisdom. Pray that God will touch them. Pray that they'll follow God. Why? And this is key, that we may have a peaceable life. It matters. It affects the church. It affects the preaching. It affects evangelism. It affects ministry. It matters. It matters that we can have a quiet, look at what he says, and peaceable life, and godliness, and honesty. We see a lot of division, a lot of fear. And both are very powerful weapons. And they've been used against the population in a mighty way. We need to be mindful of that. So we pray for them that our lives can be good. That our lives, that we can do the things that God called us to do. Now remind me, how did Paul die? Remind me. What kind of government did they have? Remind me, how did our sins get washed away? Because the government crucified the Savior. They stoned Stephen with orders from the court. Paul was killed by the king. All of the apostles, save one, were killed in unbelievable ways. Why? Because sometimes the government doesn't like what we do. And we just have to accept that. But we should never stop living for God. We should never stop doing what God told us to do. Because what did the Bible say? The Bible says it is better to obey God rather than men. And for that reason, the apostles went to jail. They went to prison. They were executed. For that reason, Daniel found himself in the lion's den. For what? For praying. Well, how can anybody stand against prayer? They do. Because they don't like God. But he says this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. It's God's plan. It's God's will. Does God want you to get saved? There's no question. You don't need to say, God, do you want me to get saved? He does. Well, God, do you want my boss to get saved? He does. My coworkers, he does. My enemy, he does. My neighbor, he does. God wants everybody to get saved. That's his will. And so who should we share the gospel with? You can never share it with the wrong person. You can never share the gospel with the wrong person. Not only would he happen to be saved, but he'd happen to be educated in biblical principles and standards. Come to knowledge of the truth. He wants us to get saved, and he wants us to get taught. He wants us to learn, to gain the knowledge of truth. Verse 5, there is one God. Don't overlook that. One. Surely we know that your God is God, Daniel. Because Daniel held his ground. There is one God. And there's one mediator between God and men. You see, you don't confess your sins to me. We don't have to confess our sins to others. There's one mediator, one. And he's the one that we look to. And who is that? Christ Jesus. He's the one who stands between. We look at the Old Testament and we see Moses standing between. God even said to Moses, you'll be like God to them. Aaron will be like the prophet. And they'll talk to Aaron, and Aaron will talk to you, and you'll talk to me. But as far as what they can see, you will be like God. God tells us here through Paul, there's one mediator. When we pray, we don't pray to a saint. We don't pray to an angel. We don't pray to a priest. We pray to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One mediator. And so there's a lot of superstition, and I don't believe there's anybody in this room that holds those superstitions. But it's important that we comprehend that so we can share it with others. And, you know, if somebody introduces the idea to you, you tell them there's one mediator. There's only one, the man, Christ Jesus. And he gave himself a ransom for all. I think of that dear lady that said to me, I don't know if he can forgive me of my sins. And she confessed what it was, and it was awful. But I said, understand that he can forgive you of your sin. It had been a burden for her for decades. She'd carried that on her heart, broken and scared and now facing death. And she said, I don't know if I'll go to heaven. We went through her salvation and it was sure. It was as textbook as mine and yours. And I said, you understand that you will go to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. Isn't that good to know? God, Jesus gave himself a ransom for all to be tested. Due time. Verse number 8. I will therefore men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So God's desire is for us to pray. He says here that men ought to be holy men of prayer. Holy men of prayer. Thank you. Holy men of prayer. Guys, do we meet up to that? Holy men of prayer. Set aside for God's purpose, understanding our calling in Christ. Men of prayer. Men of prayer. Praying. You know, I often think about praying in here through my list that I pray each morning. And sometimes when I go to bed, I don't always do that, but sometimes I'll pray the whole list. But see, sometimes I realize when I get finished that I missed somebody, skipped over somebody, and I wouldn't want to do that when you're sitting here. But I want to assure you that I believe and I practice praying brothers and sisters in Christ. By name, your family, your extended family, your burdens, your requests. And you may not hear me say it in here. You know, this morning there were requests given and we said a prayer and didn't name all of them. Missed one or two, I think. And I always feel bad because I think, well, they were sitting there and they heard me not pray for their loved one. But be assured, it's written down and it will be prayed over. I will pray for your loved ones. And I'm not the only one. There are others in here that write those names down as we go through. And they may even call and say, what was that name? And we pray for them. It's God's will that men pray. And then he talks about women. Verse 9, 11, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Let's go back to men. And it says that men ought to do it without wrath and without doubting. When we pray, we need to get our attitudes in check. You ever, I think of, to them and they said, well, hey, they didn't hear what you had to say. You were preaching and they didn't want it. Do you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn this place? They were wanting to see something, weren't they? They heard about Elijah. They thought, boy, that'd be just top of my life if I could see something like that happen. And it's an incredible idea. I've been to Mount Carmel and that's what I always thought of. Boy, fire falling from heaven. The apostles wanted to see that. They wanted that city to burn up. Jesus said, guys, that's not what we do. We shouldn't pray with wrath. We shouldn't pray against our enemies that way. And so be careful as we pray. Don't pray in wrath and don't pray doubting. Put your faith in God. Believe in Him. And then He says that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And so a modest understanding of the term, it means that we're not attracting attention. We're not trying to be the center of attention. That's the idea. There have been lots of descriptions of that. I saw a picture the other day of a police officer on the beach measuring somebody's bathing suit, make sure it was not more than 6 inches above her knee. A bathing suit, 6 inches above her knee. Days, right? Modest. We can define modest in many different ways. But the point is, it's not to attract. It's not just about nudity. It's also about not trying to be flashy, not trying to be flamboyant, not trying to attract attention. Shamefacedness, sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. Now, the insecurity, particularly as Paul's talking about this, the insecurity of marriage in those days, a man could walk up to his wife in the marketplace and say, I divorce you. He could say that 7 times and that was it. Final, done. They were divorced. And so whatever she had on her is all she had. And she would have to leave at that point with whatever was in her pockets or in her hair or on her neck. And so they would load up the whole jewelry box just about if they were living insecurely in their home. And, you know, it's awful that we could think about such a situation or the insecurity of that or the fear that they constantly lived in. What Paul is talking about here, again, not being flashy and living comfortably or securely in who we are. Verse 10, and listen to me. Gold is not going to make you more beautiful. Diamond is not going to make you more beautiful. I'm in favor of makeup and hairdos, and I'm even in favor of hair color. How about that? I'm not against any of that stuff, and the Bible's not against any of that stuff. Remember Jesus said, can you change the color of your hair? Well, they didn't have it back then. but now, all this stuff, guys, there's nothing wrong with that. The point is humility. That's the point, humility. Not trying to attract attention. And then he goes on and he says, but she should adorn herself with good works. Not with flashy stuff. Not to look rich. Not to be attractive. But for good works. And let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. So his lesson here is that men should be holy men of prayer. and that women should be women of humility. That's all. We could go on and talk. You know, he didn't want the woman to be in charge of the church and teaching men in the church. And all right there. Look, I mean, it's there, black and white. No question about it. It's not ambiguous. And what he is, that a woman, in verse number 15, because this is a little confusing, so let me explain it, because you'll probably read ahead, because that's what y'all do. She shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in the faith, in charity, holiness, with sobriety. Her salvation is not resting in her ability to have children. That's not what that says, what it means. He's going from an angle of teaching and having authority. And so where is her authority? Her authority is over the home. You see, it's not hard to understand, is it? He gave her authority in the home. I don't know if you've recognized this through your lives, but men, women are good managers. They run a tight ship. They can keep things organized. Somebody was saying something the other day about our home, and said something about my wife, and I said, she's superwoman. Well, no way we could have, you know, everything going as smoothly as it is. Now, I'm not saying it's smooth, but smoothly as it is, without her taking charge of those things in the home. And that's what Paul's saying there. I was doing a funeral one time and overhearing the pastor of the church or the assistant pastor of the church, they were discussing it, and one of them said, do yourself a favor and don't ever get a female assistant pastor because she'll take your church. Now, let me tell you why. Because they're good at it. That's why. Capitol Heights Baptist Church owes a great debt of gratitude to the of this church. We have a phenomenal group of women in our church. No doubt about it. Y'all do a great job. You know, as far as your auxiliary and as far as today, all the things you do without Sister Barbara. And there's so much that gets done here by ladies. No doubt about it. Don't ever think I don't appreciate that, because I do. But when it comes to pastoring, when it comes to leading, Paul says, Timothy, that's the man's job. I know that in our culture, we're losing appreciation for that. But one of the reasons is because we've feminized our men. That's a problem. Our men need to be strong men and need to stand tall and probably better. Paul said to Timothy, the most important, Carolyn says, say it. What's that? I know, right? It's when we compromise the Bible, we find ourselves trouble. Yeah, but that was in those days and things were different. Yes, they were. And let me tell you, things were different in this country years ago too. And the more we compromise, and the more we water it down, and the more we dismiss it, the worse we get. So we need to hold to the old truths. We need to hold to the Bible truth. No matter who doesn't like it or who does. Let's stand. Holy men of prayer and modest women of humility. God, we thank you so much for the time that we've had tonight. And I pray that you will to you. God, build our hearts in you. Strengthen our faith. Help us to see your hand in our lives, your power in our lives. Touch our bodies. Give us our health. Give us our strength. Touch our spirits. God, give us your will. Direct us so that we will be busy doing the right things, that we will be effective in all the things that we do, because we know the time is short. We look forward to that day when we are there, but for we have work to do here. And pray that you will take charge of our lives. We surrender to you and ask you to answer the burdens that are on our hearts. Show us our part and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.